Yaha, Alireza Nourbakhsh speaking from London, Khanaqa, 3rd of May 2020. We are entering week 6 of lockdown in the UK, and I, like most people, am beginning to feel that I have lost my freedom. The freedom to venture outside for a walk without wearing a mask or observing social distancing. The freedom to visit people and have other people visit me, and numerous other freedoms which I took for granted prior to this pandemic. The ability to move about freely without fear is central to our well-being. However, the concept of freedom is a broader scope of meaning than just physical confinement. It could also be applied to mental or psychological imprisonment, and in the fields of art, literature, religion, politics, and science, freedom is the ability to express one's thoughts and ideas without any fear of persecution or reprisal. Throughout the history of humanity, there have been societies which have tried to suppress freedom of thought and expression in order to promote one particular religion or political system. We know from history that ultimately such repressive trends cannot last, and humanity has always found a way to eventually break free from chains and that restrict thought and expression and explore new horizons. But sadly, this oppression continues in some parts of the world, and it is one of the most primitive ways of consolidating power. Depriving people of their basic freedoms create a breeding ground of intolerance and hypocrisy. When people are prohibited from expressing their true feelings and ideas, they have to pretend in order to survive. There is, of course, a more subtle way of limiting people's freedom of thought and expression. Bombarding people with advertisements, misinformation, and propaganda produces a consumer culture that makes people believe their happiness can only be achieved by either with possession and consuming of goods or by advocating baseless ideologies. Here, the prevailing forces take away freedom of thought and expression not by setting out strict rules to be followed, but by creating and reinforcing a system of values that appeals to base instinct of humanity, our insatiable desire to possess and to dominate others. To break free sometimes means to go against such cultural norms. In this context, I would like to say a few words about the notion of spiritual freedom. This is, of course, different from religious freedom, whereby people are free to practice their religion without any hindrance, either by the state or their community. One can be religiously free, yet spiritually in bondage. By spiritual freedom, I mean first and foremost the abandonment of all prejudices, in the sense of realizing that one set of religious dogmas, rituals, rules, and practices are no closer to the truth than any other. Religious principles without direct experience of their truth are more or less interchangeable, and those who have experienced the truth of their religion have often abandoned all distinctions. To promote one's religion over all others on the basis that it's closer to the truth has created more conflicts in the world than it has togetherness. Religious prejudice leads to religious intolerance, which does not recognize the fundamental right of human beings to choose their own spiritual path. As the Sufi saying goes, there are as many paths to God as there are souls. The second hallmark of spiritual freedom is one's ability to free oneself of attachments. When we are attached to our possessions and relationships, in a sense that we cannot live or thrive without them, or have come to rely on them for our inner happiness, it becomes an obstacle on the spiritual path. The idea of freeing oneself from attachment to material possessions may be a familiar concept. However, it may be strange for some to hear that one's relationships with other people can give rise to attachments that hinder their spiritual freedom. Of course, we need to love and be loved by others, and feeling connected to our loved ones is part of what it means to be a human being. It is only natural to desire to be with those we love, and we mourn the loss when they are gone. But when we demand others to behave in a certain way towards us in exchange for our love, then our expectations become our attachments and obstacles to our freedom. We then become unhappy when people do not behave in a way we expect them to behave. Spiritual freedom here means to love others without any expectation in return. The third hallmark of spiritual freedom is to be free from any wants and desires. This is Buddha's discovery. To be free from suffering, one has to break free from cravings and desires. This aspect of spiritual freedom is reflected in Bayezid's prayer. O Lord, grant me the wish that I do not have any wishes. Being free from the bonds of desire by not having wishes and cravings is easy to understand as a concept, but it is hard to fathom how we can transcend the desire for things in this world when we are encouraged and guided by the very culture that we live in to always possess better and bigger things, or always look to others for our own happiness. The answer which the Sufis have always proposed is that we can only reach this stage of spiritual freedom when we learn to be in state of love. When we experience love, the only desire we have is to be with our beloved, and all other desires and wishes disappear. To be lost in divine love for a Sufi is freedom. As Hafez puts it, I say it openly, and I'm happy about what I say. I am the slave of love and free from both worlds. Ya Haq.